And culture on the planet. And we'll be adding new formats. The Feminist View, a monthly panel of diverse voices, women in the street segments, and more. And you'll still be able to hear the Rape Declaration Forum once a month on the third Thursday. So tune in Thursdays 9 to 10 p.m. for an expanded Joy of Resistance, covering the issues that affect one half the world and the other half, too. Sleeping women and now awake and move.
Do you think this war will ever end?
I don't know. They'll just have another one.
I want to get out of here. Don't you?
Not that much.
So you like it here?
It's not that bad.
You're in a foxhole with a war raging outside.
I know. That's why I'm sure glad I've got my WBAI.
Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org. Now, do it now.
Once they were as warm as you. Like you, they fully expected to pull back the covers, then rise from their beds the next morning. They'd been to the market and bought eggs and bread for tomorrow's breakfast. They confirmed appointments with friends, students, lovers. Why, they had even picked out the clothes they meant to wear after their morning showers. But then, inevitably, they never did rise from that bed. Perhaps they never made it to the other side of the street, carrying those groceries. Maybe something went terribly wrong as they reached into the closet to retrieve their trousers. And now they are no more. Or are they? Why, here comes one now. And another. Great performers of the past on Morning Ursae. Fridays, live, 10 to noon, on WBAI.
I'm trying to see which microphone is working here. Hello? They all should be working. All right, so welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And this is Catherine speaking. And my co-host this day, Paulette Spencer, is away this week. So I am here with you this evening and looking to share, hopefully, quite a wonderful exchange. And I have been thinking a lot not just today, but especially potently today, about our relationship with Earth, with Gaia, and how important it is for us to consider that we as humans on this planet are in fact the planet itself. And I say this because however we conduct ourselves in and upon this world has a significant impact on the quality of the Earth's living experience. For the Earth, our beautiful Gaia, is a living being, however you might want to think of that. I think so in the same sense that we are living beings, a different form, perhaps much more vast than a human being, because we as humans are each a fiber of the planetary consciousness. And so when there's a great deal of polarity, violence, fear that takes place upon our planet, that it does have a great impact, a great, great impact on the world itself. So I think that we have to have some consideration for our sweet planet and send it that loving vibration, just as we would love a family member, just as we would send love, to our friends and care about our friends across the globe or within our own neighborhood. And as we would care for a beloved pet, it's also very important for us to care for our planet. And one of the ways we can do that is to consciously send energy, to consciously hold the planet in our hearts, metaphorically in our arms, and really take care of them, just take care of them. And so I wanted to just share this little message with you because we can each make a tremendous difference. So I want you to send your love to Mother Earth Terra Gaia. And when you give that loving energy to the planet, to Gaia, it's absorbed. It is integrated into the overall energy field of the planet. And it also flows from the planet to benefit other beings and all of the animal kingdoms, all of the plant kingdoms. So we as human beings have an opportunity to energetically have a positive impact on the earth, because the truth is all the negativity that goes around and upon the world also has a great impact. So among the other things that we do in terms of protest, in terms of advocating for a environmental change, all of that, we can also add our love and affection. So I just want to put that out there for you, because it's something that we can do and that we should do. I want to play a little video for you, if I could get it up on the computer. But if not, I will read it to you. And it's just really very, very interesting and very much in tune with the sensibilities here at our radio station at WBAI and at Pacifica. So let's see if we can bring it up. I'm going to work on that in this moment, but let's play another piece of music, and then we will get back to you with this little clip, and I would love to hear your phone call. So let me play a piece of music and we'll be right back.
In this heart lies for you a lot. My love.
wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my
author of The New Jim Crow. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm a huge fan of that book, very important book. You did an event, a Bernie Sanders event, this morning. You wrote a piece for The Nation magazine called Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve the Black Vote. Are you endorsing Bernie Sanders?
Well, I am definitely endorsing the political revolution. I am reluctant to endorse any candidate, any Democratic candidate, any candidate in the current political system. I believe that we need to think very seriously, particularly as folks of color and progressives, about building either a new party or a new movement that can hold the Democratic Party accountable or provide a meaningful alternative. But I could not be more thrilled with the movement that is arising all over this country to support the creation of a real democracy in the United States. You know, I think Bernie Sanders is absolutely right to call for a political revolution. We don't have a real democracy today. Our politicians are, you know, pretending to serve two masters, the people who elect them and then the people who fund them. And unfortunately, for millions of people who cast their votes every year, they rightfully wonder whether their politicians are responding more to the people who fund their campaigns, including large pharmaceutical companies, big banks, payday lenders, private prison companies, than the people who have elected them. And
it's interesting that you talk about the sort of democratic problem with big money, because one of the areas that you have focused on, criminal justice, it strikes me as one of those areas where that's not really the story of what's happened, right? I mean, there are private prison interests, and they've played some role at the margins, but we basically constructed the largest prison state in the world, not because big business wanted it, but because a lot of really pretty ugly politics on the ground level.
Yes, but I think the larger story about mass incarceration is really about how the interests of poor people and working people of all colors, how people are divided along racial lines in order to advance the interests of a privileged few. And that is really the story of American democracy since its founding, how the privileged few have used race as a way of driving a wedge between poor and working people in order to advance their own interests. It certainly was the case with slavery. It was certainly the case with Jim Crow. Jim Crow emerged in large part in response to a multiracial populist movement for economic justice. And those who were in favor of racial hierarchy and wanted to continue to exploit the lower classes found that they could defeat this populist movement by disenfranchising African Americans and persuading poor and working class whites that they ought to, you know, preserve their racial supremacy,
right,
in our political system and abandon their black allies. And, you know, after the civil rights movement, we saw similar dynamics emerging again with the backlash against the civil rights movement, creating a political environment where, once again, conservatives and, you know, former segregationists were able to use kind of law and order, get tough on them rhetoric in order to defeat kind of the growing calls for poor people's campaign and, you know, the evolution of the civil rights movement into a movement for broader economic justice.
So if the antidote to that is building that kind of multiracial coalition, I think one of the biggest critiques of Bernie Sanders' shortcomings is the fact that he has had a hard time building a multiracial coalition, that his supporters have been overwhelmingly white, that his voting performance has been disproportionately white. I mean, that seems a pretty major obstacle if you want to do that.
Well, that is certainly the critique, although, you know, his recent landslide victories in Hawaii and Washington State, states that are, you know, Hawaii, I think, is the most diverse state in the nation. There have been great gains for Bernie Sanders among voters of color. You know, I think many voters of color had never heard of Bernie Sanders. I had never heard of Bernie Sanders before the presidential election campaign. And, you know, the reality is that the Clintons are very well known to black folks in particular. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote my piece for The Nation is that although, you know, one side of the Clinton story is well known to black folks, the fact that, you know, Bill Clinton was really the first president that ever really embraced black people as human beings. You know, I think it's important when people, you know, talk about, lots of folks ask me, particularly white folks, ask me, you know, why do so many black folks support Clinton when he, you know, his policies were so disastrous for the African-American community? And I think many people forget that, you know, we had centuries of slavery where no politician was responsive to our humanity at all, followed by Jim Crow segregation. And, you know, although Lyndon B. Johnson and Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy were allies in some respects, though not all respects, with the civil rights movement and African-American communities, there had never been a president or a presidential candidate who actually treated black folks like they were real people, who could be viewed and treated as human beings, you know, who weren't a problem to be solved, that didn't treat African Americans as a problem to be solved, but instead would actually sit down and eat with them and sing in their church and acted like they enjoyed, recognized us as human beings. And that's a huge thing. Just as the election of Barack Obama as the first black president is a huge thing for African Americans as a community, it was no small thing for Bill Clinton to reach out to African American communities in the way that he did. And I think many people remember that, especially older African Americans remember that. What they don't know, what they often don't know or don't remember, and is actually one of the reasons why I wrote my book, The New Jim Crow, in the first place, is that many people of color don't know or fully understand how this system of mass incarceration was constructed, why, and the devastating consequences for our communities. And the Clintons, you know, had you know, important role. They escalated the drug war and the Get Tough movement far beyond what the Republicans had done, while at the same time dismantling the federal social safety net and transferring billions of dollars away from child welfare and housing into a prison building boom unlike anything the world had ever seen. And I think it's difficult and painful for many black folks to face that reality. We'd rather not believe it. And, you know, we would like to imagine that, you know, the politicians who were willing to sit with us in church and to be our friends actually might have done vastly more harm good for our community.
Let me ask you about this sort of crime record, because I think that's been a focal point of a lot of the critique, particularly along racial justice lines. And there's sort of two prongs to this. One is the degree to which Hillary Clinton should bear responsibility for things that her husband signed the law. But the other is that, you know, if you go back and you look at Democrats, black, white, northern, southern of that period, they're all talking like, I mean, here's Marion Barry in 1988. Telling a television interviewer that he wants murderers, killers, to be hunted down like mad dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the rhetoric around crime at that period in the late 80s, early 90s. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Marion Barry, mayor of Atlanta, mayor of New York. It's all pretty shocking to the ears of someone in 2016.
Yeah, but I think if you look closely at the records of most of the black politicians and activists during that period, including Marion Barry, they weren't just saying get tough. They were also demanding investment in our schools. They were demanding economic investment. They were demanding jobs, job training, the rebuilding of communities that had been devastated by the disappearance of work due to deindustrialization and globalization. These folks weren't saying, just come in and lock everybody up and then give us police and jails and nothing else. No, they were at that moment in time, in that historical moment in time, there was a real crisis, just like there's a real crisis right now, for example, in Chicago, right? And there's probably many people in Chicago who are living in neighborhoods that are plagued by violent crime that might well say, we need more police. We need to get some of these folks off the street, right? But that's not all they want.
Right.
That's not all they want. They also want their kids to have a future. They want good schools. They want investment to repair the harm that's been done. They want health care. They want drug treatment on demand for those who are suffering with drug addiction. And what we've seen in, you know, recent months and in the past couple of years is that now that drug use has become or perceived as a white problem,
yes,
there's this wave of compassion and concern. No one's calling for a war. No one's calling for mandatory minimum sentences for, you know, heroin addicts and for people who are committing these kinds of offenses. The kinds of horrible, grotesque caricatures that were done of, you know, people who are struggling with crack addiction. We don't see that in the media around, you know, the many, many white folks who are strung out on heroin and desperately need support. And yet, you know, we have suddenly, you know, space in our hearts for concern and for compassion and for treatment and alternative approaches. And you don't hear much thumping and calls for war. And I think it has a lot to do with the race and ethnicity of those who are suffering at the time. And in the, you know, early 1990s, urban black communities were suffering from economic collapse. A literal depression was affecting those communities. You know, the unemployment rate had quadrupled in many urban areas. You know, neighborhoods that were solidly working class, you know, were suddenly turning into ghettos practically overnight. And, you know, at that moment, our nation had a choice. We could have responded with bailout packages, economic stimulus plans. We could have invested in those schools so that the young folks trapped in racially segregated communities might have some hope of making the rough transition from an industrial economy where they once relied on factory jobs to a service-based economy where they needed actually a college education even to make it into the middle class. We could have responded with a wave of care, compassion, and concern, but no. Instead, what did we get? We got the war on drugs, the Get Tough movement, and the evisceration, the end of welfare as we know it. And really, the election of Bill Clinton marked the turning point for the Democratic Party, where the Democratic Party decided that in order to win over those so-called white swing voters, the folks who had defected from the Democratic Party in the wake of the Civil Rights Movement, in order to get those folks, you know, they were going to have to begin proving to that segment that they could be tougher on them than the Republicans had been. And, you know, I think that's a part of our political history that is painful, I think, for the black community to face, but it's necessary. And, you know, it's my hope that, you know, as the months and years go by, that we will come to see that politics as usual, where, you know, black vote is just taken for granted by the Democratic Party, and we're constantly being told, you have to vote for us because, you know, God help you if the Republicans are elected. That kind of emotional blackmail and scaremongering, you know, comes to an end, and that we, you know, force the Democratic Party to deserve our vote by organizing movements that truly hold the Democratic Party accountable, or perhaps forming another party, you know, which I think the Bernie Sanders campaign has demonstrated that there are millions of people out there who are hungry for a different kind of politics and who want their politicians to be, you know, treating you know, the American voters as though they matter. And, you know, democracy itself is a quest to ensure that every person, every human being is treated as though their life matters, their voice matters, their vote matters. And what we've seen is that we haven't gotten there yet. And it will probably take, I'm actually certain it will take, a political revolution for us to get there.
Michelle Alexander, great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was a interview from MSNBC But I thought it was quite powerful with Michelle Alexander talking about the necessity for having perhaps another party, the necessity for certainly African-American people standing up for their rights, standing up for liberties. It's just an amazing thing. And so I just thought it was a beautiful interview because it goes to show how much the political scene has begun to change. And in many ways, this whole effort towards the Bernie Sanders campaign reminds me to some degree of the campaign that Obama ran the first time. So I know that many people have great hope that Bernie Sanders will stick to his guns after elected, if elected. I'm never sure of that any longer. So, but it is an interesting, I find it very interesting. I was watching many of the rallies, the Bernie Sanders rallies, and I found, you know, people really are passionate, very passionate about moving in a new direction. And I guess in many ways one could think of the Sanders campaign as really the only game in town in terms of any kind of rhetoric that would be useful to us human beings and to the planet itself. One of the aspects of his campaign that I think is really important is climate change and the need for governments and businesses to be accountable to what's happening and as far as climate change is concerned. Another interesting story I came upon this week is this revelation of the Panama Papers. I don't know if you've heard about this. I think it's fairly well known at this point, but how a global media operation held the rich and powerful to account, or that's at least what's being claimed here. So the Panama Papers material is reported to have been leaked from the database of Mossack Fonseca, the world's fourth biggest offshore law firm. And basically what this revelation does is expose the offshore secrecy that many corporations and many wealthy individuals have been using to hide their money and avoid taxes. So it's a very interesting release of papers. There's a lot of people being implicated as being part of this tax evasion. The interesting thing about this is that it's primarily dealing with foreign nations as far as the United States is concerned. So there's a lot of accusations to including Vladimir Putin, Jackie Chan, and a number of other countries and leaders that are, one would think, are not the only ones. So I find that it's a little bit interesting that these Panama Papers, while it's a huge, huge leak, and it implicates many, many people for who have broken the law, one would think, and hid a lot of money in offshore, these offshore countries, the Caribbean and the like. There's another media source. It's actually called Veterans Today. If you haven't heard of it, you should check it out. VeteransToday.com, Journal of the Clandestine Community. So this is really a journal of ex-spies. So they tend to have good intel about what's going on. And so they give a different perspective. And they are saying that these Panama Papers are actually, they're real documents turned over, apparently were turned over to the Mossad, they claim, and that the ones that are being targeted by the big publicity release are actually kind of an enemies list of those corporations that are more based in the United States. And they're also claiming that there are lots and lots of companies that are being protected, such as the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, the Rockefeller Family Fund, and W.K. Kellogg Foundation. So interesting controversy. And I believe there was a story out this week that Obama was able to prevent a major merger that would allow corporations to move out of the United States in order to protect their taxes and not allow, you know, not take their fair share. So I think all of this is just a really interesting, complex series of events that are starting to take place. And I just wonder what it is all going to become. So certainly if you have any thoughts on all this, give us a call at 718-780-8888. We have a call. Let's see. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, did you want to be on the radio?
Yeah, I just turned off my radio.
You okay?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, that was quick. I like that transference on the air, but just caught me a little off guard. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
You want me to touch on anything you talked about here, or?
Or whatever is on your mind.
Okay. Yeah, a bunch of stuff, but I can start with what you just mentioned about the corporations moving out of here, which is interesting when you think about it, because I guess moving out of here, meaning I guess that can mean different things. So I'm thinking of three different things, because they have already, in a sense, moved the labor force, but they didn't really move the labor force. They just tapped the labor force in other lands.
Yeah.
They closed up shops en masse across the country over the past, 15, 20 years, and, you know, have appropriated and exploited the labor forces in different parts of the world, so-called third world countries. You know, I hate that term, but it's the term of engagement, so we use it to define what they're talking about. And so thinking, well, there's that, and then there's are they going to move themselves bodily out of this country, or is the corporation, the offices going to move out of here? Because then, you know, what it's like the horror of the one world government where, you know, there's no sovereignty, and then, you know, whoever runs the show can run it from everywhere and anywhere, or anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a problem with that, because then where is accountability? And then you think back to, you know, what Michelle Alexander was so brilliantly laying out regarding, she didn't talk about NAFTA specifically, but it correlates to it in the sense that NAFTA, you know, has a connection to the Clintons, and then all of the, what she was talking about, how the Clintons moved the Democratic Party way to the right, to, you know, for the reasons that she mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and that made it very easy for NAFTA to become palatable, because after all, a lot of people became, I guess, hypnotized by thinking, well, you know, if the dude could play saxophone and be kind of cool around people, you know, brothers and sisters, he can't be that bad. So, you know, welfare reform, prison reform, so-called, and then NAFTA, it's like the demonic triumvirate there, you know, and just so much stuff went down. It was horrible.
Yeah, I know. It did. But what I really liked about Michelle Alexander was talking about is that she was really talking about it's time for people to really be clear in our minds and really look at the big picture, because the sound bites that we get through the corporate controlled media is not really educating us to the level that we need to be to begin to change the world in which we live, because these people are moving forward with the tacit permission of the electorate, because we go to the polls, these people get in, and then people go back to sleep, and, you know, all of these awful things continue to ensue. So I just feel that it's very important that we all begin to construct for ourselves the world that we actually want to live in. And I started this program really talking about caring for the earth, caring for Gaia, and moving into a space where we can care for each other. And so there's this two things happening where I think a lot more people are really waking up. There seems to be a lot more disclosure and exposure of the corruption in our government. And so I just think that it's good to have the conversation in terms of what's been happening, what is happening, and what we truly want to create as the world that we're living in right now. So this is why, you know, this program is a spiritual program. I don't always present political topics within the program, but they're really very intermingled, because politics are what creating the world in which we live.
I definitely agree with that. I don't see why too many people of necessity see them as antipodal, as if they are necessity opposites, because just as we in the current Western paradigm, the secular materialistic paradigm, that is, and I think we have side by side. The opposite side of the coin of religious fundamentalism is secular materialism. They're two sides of the same coin, and I think they both sort of circle around each other without moving stuff in a constructive way. And they both have this assumption, this arrogance of man and woman as having dominion over the planet, which is insanity. And I think one of the good things that we're seeing now is not just that the corruption is being exposed, but people have ideas and plans of stuff that we can do, you know, on a grassroots level. And the consciousness is important. There's too many, I don't want to knock the station, but a lot of people over the years are political fetishists, and they think everything is only a reductivist, you know, political solution to everything and anything. And that's a part of it, but you can wed that to, and I hate using the word spiritual, not because I have a problem with it, but because certain people get turned off by that. The whole notion of a connectedness, the Gaia, it all works together. You know, you can't be worried about the bus fumes in the neighborhood and in a body or whatever, and be disconnected to pollution in the Pacific. You have to deal with them holistically and together. It can't be an either or. Mm-hmm. And I think more people. I was very inspired. I'll just say this one thing, so give people obviously a chance. I was so inspired. It was a day or two ago. Did you see Rosario Dawson on Democracy Now?
I don't think I saw her on Democracy Now, but I did see the introduction that she did at the rally. In the Bronx.
I suggest you go on to Democracy Now! And Rosario Dawson just kicked ours, okay? She was wonderful. And she was so articulate and so grounded and I was awestruck. Not awestruck in the sense that I was surprised that she could do that, but I was like, you know, it was beautiful. I got a high just listening to her, and it was absolutely wonderful. So, Kathy, thanks for listening to me here, and please stay on the air and keep talking about these wonderful, important things.
Well, thank you. I'll do my best.
Good night now. Bye-bye.
Bye. And you're listening to, did I even announce, Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, and Paulette will be back next week. The number here to call is 718-780-8888, 718-780-8888. And if you have a thought that you would like to add to this discussion. And did I mention coming up? I had an announcement I wanted to make before too long. I believe Flo Entel will be having an open mic tomorrow, Thursday, the 7th of April. Is April correct? Yeah. Sign up is at 5:30. Show is from 7 to 10. And it's right downstairs at 388 Atlantic Avenue, the Commons Cafe. So it's Flo Entel because they're encouraging you to support the cafe as well as the open mic. So you can check that out. There's no phone number here, but I was at the last one. It was great. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Kathy and Paulette. Well, I guess your accomplice is missing in action, but Kathy, could you tell me when the Michelle Alexander, I just got in and I just heard the tail end of that. Could you tell me when that was on MSNBC or something?
Well, it was, I don't know, I just closed the computer. I will, it's actually.
Not today, right?
No, I don't think it was today. It was on the internet today. I took it from the internet. So give me a moment, and I will look.
Well, let me get off the air in case a caller comes in. But you always got a wonderful show, folks.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Take good care. Okay. Thank you for that. Let's see if I can figure out where it was. Well, I'll figure it out in a little while. If I can figure that out, I'll let you know. The number here is 718-780-8888. And yeah, I don't know if I could find it, but it you could probably Google search for it and find it. So let me play you another piece of music. Unless we get a call at 718-780-8888. And then we'll come back with a little bit more. Maybe gentle it down a little bit and talk more about the state of our spirit, the state of our skies, the state of much that's going on in our world.
There I go. Pretty baby, you are the soul. Snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me this moment, then I'm wrapped up in your magic. There's music all around me, crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me your slave. Baby, just let me get next to you. So am I insane or do I really?
So we were listening to a bit of Amy Winehouse, Moody's Mood for Love. We have a call coming in, and I want to prioritize what you have to say. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I called because I just wanted to thank you, Captain, because I finally got the packages you were offering a couple of months ago, and it's called Historical Documents.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, Catherine. Oh, my God. I just love it. I love it. I had to go through so much. Like I said, it took me 3 months to get it. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I'm a writer. And I just want to thank you for the work that you put together. I could tell. I looked at the dates that you had issued on the documents. And to me, it looked like you had did a lot of hard work. So I really, really fully appreciate it. Like I said, I'm an artist, a blind musician, and I'm definitely a seeker of truth. I'm a Christian, but I like expanding my horizons as far as knowledge, and I thank you for even offering that gift. So that's why I just wanted to call you and let you know that I thought about saying maybe I want to try some of the classes that you were talking about, but I decided I'm a little overweight, I'm a little old, so... I just want to thank you.
Well, you're never too old, but that's okay. But you're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome for the flash.
I was blessed by the package. And continue doing the great work and the great insight and the great music that you offer. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello, you're on the air. Are you there? Okay, we lost you. I think. Let's try again. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Love your voice and the way it travels. You know, it is interesting. I'm looking at things with the papers, and I'm looking at things like the earth. We are cells, and Mother Earth is the body, and there's a detoxing that's going on, and... You know how when you detox certain cells, they feel it here. They say, you know, you feel things waking up and shifting and everything. And I remember right before Obama got in, there was a guy that was on another radio show, and he was saying the years after Obama come in, if there's things are not transparent, the detoxing of the planet will expose everything in order for it to be cleansed and detox the way it needs to be for us to shift. So I find it, when we talk about each other waking up, because we have been in this merry-go-round, this Wizard of Oz, and it's been like a dream within a dream. And so waking up and noticing that whatever game was played, we are all humans, even those that's in power, because they need to get the power from the Mother Earth. So yeah. We're all here together, and we that's conscious, I really like to say observing, because sometimes, you know, we overuse them, and it just takes such on a different meaning, but just observing things in ourselves, and like on this end of the seesaw, it's this drama over here, and this drama over here, and it's like, now I'm seeing, as I'm waking up a little more to whatever degree I am, I'm seeing that it's really being in the middle of everything and the seesaw. This way, the whole panoramic view, you can see both sides. And so, you know, these extremes of cleansing and detoxing, you're able to just kind of see it and be more aware of what's going on because you can feel it in your heart. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And I know you do. I got up out of my bed, Kathy, because the conversation, I said, listen, I got to plug my computer up and just call them back. But I appreciate it so much, and I appreciate your energy, and thank you so very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of very interesting because I agree. I totally agree that what we're seeing is a real cleansing. A lot of people are looking at what's going on, perhaps in horror, some in amazement. But things are shifting so quickly that there's no way to know what life will look like in another 2 years, another 10 years. And it's very possible, and I believe probable, that a lot of the negativity and the toxic world that we're seeing will have been cleansed. there's so many victories happening across the world. For instance, on all levels, you know, there's a story that the president of Gambia just has banned a female genital mutilation. And, you know, following Nigeria, who also decided to end this really horrible practice. You know, these things are happening. There are things that are happening that are, they may seem small, but they're beginning to snowball into real transformative change. And as I was watching some of the campaigning, I don't actually watch TV, so I go on the internet and sort of catch up on things. And I'm just seeing that excitement in people and the engagement of so many young people in the process. And I just feel a real change in the air. I feel that there's a potential for true transformation. Of course, a lot of this for me, my understanding, has to do with the bigger evolution that's taking place in terms of our solar system, in terms of our planet, in terms of the dimension densities within which we live. And the truth is that we're passing through a particular area of space on, you know, the higher vibrational level. There are so many interesting things happening in science and in space. You know, they're finding objects are coming out of black holes, energies pulsing out of the black holes, discovering new planets in our solar system, having multiple astrological signs on a spiritual level. We can understand many of these astrological signs as portals or gateways in which every time that there's a solar eclipse, every time there's a lunar eclipse, every time there's an alignment of the planets, it's changing the dynamic and the energies that are shifting consciousness on the planet. And so we have a lot in our favor as far as our humanity is concerned, because the celestial realm is having a serious impact on the level of consciousness in humanity overall. And we have, in fact, as our caller just said, reached a point where Gaia herself is purging a lot of toxins, and that is energy as well as physically. So I think before we're done with this period of transformation, there's going to be a lot more hiccups within and from the earth as well, as Gaia begins to cough up the poisons that we have been putting down into the planet. So I think we have to hang on to our seatbelts, because we are in for a very interesting ride as we go forward in perceived time. The number here is 718-780-8888. That's 718-780-8888. So you can connect if you choose and offer us your perspective on what's happening in our world. And one of the things I want to also remind everyone is that if you're feeling in some fashion disconnected, if you're feeling in some fashion dissatisfied, if you're feeling an urgency or a desire to change your life, your location, your relationships, your jobs, this is all part of this upheaval where we've just become less tolerant of dissatisfaction, less willing to be controlled, less capable of submerging our true gift and our true dreams. We have just reached that point in our evolutionary process when it's the moment of transformation. However you want to look at that from the perspective of spirituality or religiosity, we are engaged in a time of extreme transformation, and it is positive. But in order to be able to realize that this is important and this is what we're doing, we have to become somewhat detached, somewhat removed from the drama, so that we don't engage in the negativity, so that we don't engage in the judgment, so that we don't engage in the fear or the hatred. And then we can take a step back and just watch as it all passes by and take refuge inside of our own hearts and connect by grounding into Gaia, the planet. Because remember, we are Gaia. Gaia is us. And we have a collective consciousness. We have a collective soul. And we have a collective life on the planet. And as we plug into each other with compassion, and as we begin to become stewards of Gaia's resources, rather than allowing exploitation, things will begin to resolve and we will be living in a better space. And I guess that's what I find encouraging about these political rallies. Not so much that I know one way or the other about Bernie Sanders, but that I see in humanity that this upsurge of spirit and a willingness to change and contribute to a true transformation is very uplifting to me. So for me, it's the humanity, the state of humanity after so much negativity and horror and war, that we are still prepared to stand up and say, it's time to change. And to me, that's very encouraging. Well, we got a call last week about a holistic health and wellness fair that is taking place in the Bronx, and it's coming this Saturday, I believe. And it's the African American Association of Co-op City presents the 12th Annual Holistic Health and Wellness Fair. And they're talking about how learning how to cure yourself naturally. Drugs never cure disease. They only change the form or location of the disease. So there are discussions and demonstrations. And it's Saturday, April 9th from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. And the admission is free. Nutritious refreshments. It's at the Bartow Center, 2049 Bartow Avenue, room 31, the Bronx. So if you're out in the neighborhood of Co-op City, you might want to check that out. Do they have a phone number? There may be, but I don't see it. So if somebody has a phone number, they can give us a call. But no, there does seem to be one here. But it's too small for me to read. Oh, well. Okay, but it's happening this coming Saturday. So that's just one little thing to look for. And there's another phenomena taking place a little bit later in April. On the 20th of April, there's going to be a phenomena in the sky within which you can see five planets with your naked eye. All at the same time, they'll be clumped close together. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn will appear at the same time in our skies starting April 20th and going on until Let's see. I believe something like May 4th. Yeah, I think it's May 4th. So if you go out pre-dawn sky, you'll be able to see these planets. And again, I'm sure that it has other implications as far as our, as the astrology goes. So, you know, there's just a lot going on in our world. And we are coming to a place where we can really have the power to change our lives and to change the world. Of course, most importantly, is to uplift our own lives. Because as we do that individually, it helps to transform the collective. So it's good that you take care of yourself, that you respond to some of these offers that allows you to explore what you can do for your health. And it is true, the gentleman spoke about the classes that I offer. Well, yes, I have just started a Qigong series at Studio Maya. It's 3 weeks left in the series. You can certainly continue with that. You wouldn't have missed very much. And you can go to studiomayanyc.com. And it's on Sundays at 3 p.m. for those of you who want to participate. And for those of you who think you're too old, you're not. I've been doing this practice for 20 years. I'm 60 years old. And I'm probably younger than I've ever been, certainly on a cosmic level. I feel very vibrant because of these practices, very healthy. Also coming up this month on the 20th is our spiritual support group, the Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group. We'll be meeting on Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, every month until June, but then June after that, maybe not. It depends on turnout, really, because we have to pay for the space. But April 20th, we'll be meeting. We have been meeting for a couple of months. It's been wonderful in the conversation, the sharing. We have a number of healers who come into the group, and we do hands-on healing with people, a healing circle. And we talk about a lot of the issues that we cover on this program in terms of spiritual understanding, expanding that understanding, and embodying the enlightenment. A lot of people used to think that, well, we're going to ascend and travel to some other place. But as it turns out, no, we are uplifting our own beings, we're uplifting the earth. The earth is uplifting us, and we are recreating our world so that it can return to its original state before the so-called fall, which is, I won't go into that too much, which basically doesn't explain the magnitude of the drop in energy that occurred on planet Earth and in humanity. It's a huge story. But we are passing through that region of space that allows us to move back. Let me play you some music, and I'm going to get myself a drink of water.
Up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me.
That was Jill Scott, Lovely Day. I think we might have played that in piece, in part, already. The number here is 718-780-8888. 718-780-8888. And you're welcome to join me with your phone call, if you would care to do that. I was just reminding you that we have a spiritual support group meeting here at the Commons in Brooklyn, which is 388 Atlantic Avenue. And that meeting is on the third Wednesday in the month. This Wednesday is the 20th of April. Actually, the same day that all of these planets will be appearing in our skies, so maybe I'll be able to catch it after the show on the 20th. I'm going to bring out my camera and see. So that would be fun if that happens. But either way, we'll have our support group meeting. And then in May, I believe, early May, I believe we'll be on the 8th of May, which is actually Mother's Day, I think. We're going to be doing a special celebration in honor of Mother Gaia. So I'll have to, as that comes together, I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about it. And I'm really excited because I just adore this planet. I guess we all do. But I think part of the difficulty has been that life on Gaia has been such a challenge, has had so much pain and suffering within it for many, many generations. But I think it is indeed time for that to change. I feel it. I really feel it. And part of our personal transformation is to let go of some of this old baggage that we carry within us. Because if you may have noticed that your greatest critic lives inside your own head. Your greatest doubt is in your own head. Your greatest fears are in your own head. So when we begin to recognize that a lot of what we experience in life as pain and suffering is actually in our own brain, is actually programmed into our brain, so that we can begin to reduce that impact by first the recognition and then by looking at it and saying, well, wait a minute, what words am I actually using to myself? How cruel are my words to my well-being? Am I so unwilling to rise up that which I consider sacred? Am I unwilling to value that which I truly value? So many of us get caught up in this rat race of making a living. And part of this transformation is to let go of that rat race and begin to live our lives with a fullness. And when we can live our lives with a fullness and make a connection to the expansiveness of who we truly are, when I say that we are Gaia, I'm seriously saying that just like you can look at your hands and see the fingers on your hands, we as human beings are the, maybe you could say, antennae of Gaia. And because of this basic fundamental connection, as indigenous people say, all my relations, we truly are related in such deep ways, physically, because genetically we're all descendant and intermingled from the same sources, because in terms of our biology, we're the same, we have the same needs. In terms of our psychology, we're the same, we depend on each other, we as family, as friends, as sources of love, contentment, and joy. There's really no difference between humans except personality, maybe. We each have a different gift. We each have perhaps a different calling. We each have a uniqueness to us, like a fingerprint. Every fingerprint is different on every finger for every human being in existence. So of course we're unique, but we are indeed so much more the same. And as we begin to recognize that, the barriers fall. And as we expand beyond the limitations of fear and all that fear brings, we can move out of, beyond, I should say, the five limited senses and move into an expanded capacity to communicate telepathically, to be able to have understanding and empathy at a vast scale, to be able to heal with our hands, with our thoughts, with our energies. The things that I have learned to do in my healing practice, every human being is capable of doing. And as we honor the earth and acknowledge that the earth gives us the healing remedies that we need, that as we lift our vibration out of the low densities of fear and anger and hatred and begin to lift the vibration of our bodies into compassion and self-love as well as brotherly, sisterly love, that we won't be getting sick like we are now. So we have so much potential at this moment. And I say this because the process of cleansing, of detoxing, of going through a healing crisis never feels great. And just like this is true in our bodies, it's also true in our planetary body. It's also true in our societal body and in our mental body. So it's time for us to just understand that this is part of our process and not resort to the mood-altering drugs for the sake of prescribing away sadness or confusion, and that we rather integrate this in a way that's more shamanic and become dreamers of our reality. And as we begin to invest our energy and our heart into a new reality, that new reality will come to exist. And we as the creators will have moved past this difficult transitional, transformational time. But there's so much out there that is encouraging to me. And the beauty of it is we also have each other. We have each other to talk to, communicate with. We can help each other to get through rough times. We can help each other to heal. The Bronx, I tell you, the Bronx is on fire with community and with healing. They're having healing expos and get-togethers almost every week, it looks like. So we'll continue to bring you that information as we can. There are expos coming up next month as well, healing expos in Harlem. There are healing events coming up in Brooklyn. There are opportunities to connect with healers such as myself and all over the city. And those of you who are engaging and want to engage in that practice and that participation and that connection, I am really hoping and intending to be the conduit for that. Yes, it is true. I have my own healing practice in Brooklyn and Bay Ridge. I teach my Qigong classes in Prospect Heights in Brooklyn. I do have the support group here at the Commons in downtown Brooklyn. So I'm covering a lot of Brooklyn, but there are healers in the Bronx. There are many, many more healers in Brooklyn. There are healers in Manhattan. There are healers of all colors and stripes and capabilities in terms of modalities. So let's not compete. Let's bring it together. And let's work on healing the whole, the collective of all of our lives, of all of humanity. And most important at this moment, we must heal Gaia. We must contribute that loving energy. If you're a healer, please send energy to Gaia. If you're a martial artist, a Qigong practitioner, or a yoga practitioner, you understand how to connect. Make that connection into the earth. And all the rest, we can ground in the earth, walk on the earth, breathe through your feet. Allow the energy of earth to rise into your body. And that will be a most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to contribute to the uplifting times that are in transformation right now. When you can hold that heart space steady, when you can radiate as you walk down the street, just send a silent prayer of peace. Send a silent greeting. Smile. Be kind to people. And as we hold that level of vibration, it strengthens and it magnifies because we are unifying ourselves as a single being in oneness and in unity with our planet, Mother Terra Gaia. So this is why I'm planning to do an event on Mother's Day. Because, you know, the feminine divinity is reemerging. The healing of our planet is happening and is paramount. And the unification of our race, our human race, is now. So I'm going to see if I can play a little music and figure out who is calling me while we're live on the air. We'll be right back.
you made in your image. See them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Dear God, softest everyone, I feel that I should be heard loud and clear. We all need a big
Make your... We're plumb out of time, and I want you to stay tuned. Standing by is our good friend Jim Freund for Hour of the Wolf, and we'll be back next week. So please do tune in. We'll play a little music as we make our transition. And the diamond. And for those who want to connect, my email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, if you have any questions. Have a wonderful week.
Dear God.
hearing anything anymore. If anyone can hear me.
Dead air on the my mic may have been part of the problem. This button was turned off. This little button here. That's why I could barely hear me, because I was hearing myself through the other mics that I had open. So, Terrence, if you can hear me now, call me at 718-780-8888. And would you believe me, Catherine, if I told you that the person who texted me was coming from nowhere closer than Bulgaria? That's far out. That's just, you know, I love, that's one of the 21st century things that I really like. One of the things that we were promised by science fiction, one of the very few. We're not on Mars. We don't have our flying cars. We don't have a peaceful world government. But we do have, we're able to reach out to all of you all over the world. Maybe one day during the fundraising drive in May, we should just target countries. We should just target boroughs. Everybody in Queens, let's do, like, you know, everybody in, ooh, I've got it, Iceland. You've got all that offshore money that you can pledge, right? Give us some of that offshore money to keep Pacifica Radio broadcasting, right? Hi there, Terrence. Is that you, Terrence?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, so it was a bleep up here, a number three up.
I wasn't hearing anything. I checked the link online and wasn't hearing anything there that you were actually off the air.
So. Yeah, we weren't off the air. I was just not. My mic wasn't on. Well, what I do, Catherine, is the list, right? I use the numbers on the list. So I can say that, you know, I really threed up. You know, and I know that number two is a lot of people off, but I don't give a one. So we have code. It's safe harbor, right?
I suppose. I'm not sure what any of that meant. I'm actually trying to get a little more volume on your piece here.
Yeah, first, Terrence, thank you so much for, don't take this the wrong way, thank you so much for last night.
Oh, yes, the nurses, yes. Well, you're quite welcome,
Yeah, that, I've got to say, that was a landmark event. You know,
quite a nice house, yes.
It was a very nice house. I did a rough count, and I stopped at just about 90.
Nice.
So I dare say, including the fact that some people left at intermission and some more people came in because now there was room for them, we had about 100 people.
Just below the amount to make the fire marshal.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is, but I was being very careful, and we made very sure also to keep the egress and access open.
Indeed.
But if anybody wants to watch it, you can either go on Facebook to the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings, NYRSF Readings, group and click on the link, or you can go to the Brooklyn Commons page and you can see it there, or you can just go straight to live stream and do a search on NYRSF and you will see most of the readings that we've done. And there were some minor technical issues last night involving sound at the very end.
Yes. It was getting very weird and everything with that boom trying to counter and figure out what that was. And it sounded like air conditioning to me. Then it was a different hum that I was hearing on air, but it added to it. So it was like
but it's not just
doubling the amount of hum.
But it's not just the hum and the buzz that I'm talking about. Carlos and Claire near the end were almost inaudible.
That would be the audio. That would be an audio issue.
No, that's what I'm saying. But it wasn't a buzz. Right. It was that.
No, but it was also a volume thing. It was but the volume thing happened in the trying to remove buzz, I think.
Yeah, I
or
think so.
Whatever. Thing is that the advantage of live stream is that one can like post videos. So I suspect that there must be a way to replace whatever video is up at that link with a version with clean audio, if we can successfully join video to the recorded audio. Now, I would suspect that